The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with the University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. My brother with the yellow shirt on, it is Professor Dave Chow from the College for Creative Studies.
Pleasure to be here. I'm glad I got the memo to wear yellow.
Yes. Well, you know, we live within two or three houses of each other.
It's the Berkeley memorandum, that's
to
all.
To telegraph the wardrobe choice between each other.
The psychic call does work.
Right. So how are things going downtown? You just came up in the middle of a Tigers game.
It's a little hectic, but I got through it. No problem.
Okay.
They were winning, so.
Yeah, and you actually do some stuff during the summer, right? You're teaching classes?
No, I work.
Oh, okay.
I work so I could afford to teach.
Oh, okay. So. I get it. Also dressed quite snappily to your left, it's Professor Chuck Hokett from ITS.
I didn't get the yellow memo.
Stripes.
I think you're fine.
Me stripes?
I think you're absolutely fine.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
I think horizontal suits you as well.
Okay. Just like they're not yellow.
We're bridging over, you know, amongst all the different colors at the table.
That's right.
Professor Roy Finkenbein is here from history. You were saying something about how Alex was in here taking pictures of us, our one of our web gurus mm-hmm. here at the university. This was like a fantastic legacy from your time as interim dean.
Well, yeah, we started it during my last year as dean.
Well, Alex is doing a great job. And if folks want to check out udmercy.edu/ATP, you're going to see a lot of big changes and a lot of fun stuff coming in the fall, so you can keep track of us on the web.
Good.
Thanks for doing that, Roy. Mm-hmm. And thanks, Alex, for doing all the rest of it. Professor Jim Tubbs is here from Religious Studies.
Howdy, Matt.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How about you?
Do you plan on making faces at me during this show?
I always do, Matt.
whether I'm looking or not. Oh, man. I'm just going to bury myself in my work. I don't have to look up.
Hide behind the hedges.
Yeah, that's exactly. The plus of being at the other end of the table.
It is true. Plus, I always view it as the person sitting over there has to pay for the meal at the end, head of the table.
Okay.
So,
That'll be interesting. McDonald's will never know what hit them.
One garbage bag full of French fries, please. Yeah, exactly. We're very lucky to have a guest panelist with us today. Dr. Antoine Garibaldi is president of the University of Detroit Mercy. We're very happy to have you here, sir.
And it's my pleasure to be here along with you.
Excellent.
Ask I noticed him again when we're done.
So he says now.
Just to bring you up to speed, sir, for the last year and a half, about almost 2 years, we've invited folks who are not regular panelists to come on and just have fun with us. And I believe Pam put it best when she was here last time. She didn't understand how much fun we actually had on the show. It's like it was never dour or anything, but now she does, because we have snacks and, you know, we sweat a lot together in the basement of the Briggs Building. Even during the winter. Exactly. So we're happy that you're here, and we'll kick off with some questions in here in a moment that will sort of get us going, and then we'll see how things go from there.
So, wonderful.
Excellent. I do not want to overlook, though, Professor New Business Cards Diane Manica, formerly of the Department of Education here at UDM. How are you doing, Diane?
I'm doing well. I didn't see any memos.
Oh, okay.
So I wore whatever color I wanted to wear. I don't read too many memos anymore.
That's fine. Yes, my spindle's full of them in my office, you know, just like the olden times. Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you can win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a handful of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. And altogether brand new, from now on, feel free to tweet at AskTheProfUDM or use the hashtag AskTheProfUDM to send us questions for a completely Twitter question-based show we're going to have this fall. So start sending in those questions, and I'll echo what you put on Facebook this morning, Dave, by saying feel free to tweet us the answers if you wish.
Yeah, that would help.
But you can also help. Not do that if you want to and keep us guessing. That's cool.
What's the last digit of pi? Oh, no.
On Twitter, you only have 140 characters to work with, so that's
Where's
really
Jimmy Hoffa buried?
To see how that goes. Okay, we've got some questions written by executive producer Dr. Vivian Dix for the show, and they are based on your hometown, Dr. Garibaldi, New Orleans. So from history.com, we'll see if we can get these right.
Oh, she's sourced.
Here we go.
Uh-oh.
feel the pressure.
I'm getting hot.
You can loosen the tie. This is radio. No one.
I'm comfortable.
How was the delta that would become New Orleans formed?
Water, erosion?
By deposits from the Mississippi River.
That's what it says. Uh-huh. Silt sediment? From the Mississippi. From yep, sediment.
In sixth grade.
Yep, exactly. Absolutely.
We're operating in fourth grade. Well, okay.
Yeah. I liked sixth grade so much I repeated it. So.
What are you smarter than?
A UDM prof, right. So Native Americans were the first residents of the area that became the city of New Orleans. When did the first white settlers become permanent residents? We're looking just for a year here.
Oh, I'd say about 200 years ago. So about 1812, something like that?
It's actually quite a bit before that. Mm-hmm. I liked how you were trying to do it mathematically. Yeah. I know we have a history professor at the
French
table.
Explorers. So I would say about 1680 or something.
Yeah, late 1600s.
Closer. At least here it says 1718.
Oh, 1718.
Well. Okay. Oh, yeah, they became permanent residents. So it's been a long time.
Before that, they were just snowbirds. Is that
drifted in, drifted out.
Just winter folk.
It does occur to me that I think that we traditionally say around here that the 1st of July is the founding date for the city of Detroit. Is that appropriate? Isn't that what they say when Cadillac landed on the river? Mm-hmm. And this is
Greg is our Cadillac expert, right. Having actually had to present on him once at a conference.
That would make the city of Detroit's 313th birthday last week, and we are area code 313, so it's kind of
isn't it officially, what, the 21st, though?
Oh, that's what I was saying. I don't remember what the date
was. It's 21st.
Was, so it's coming up.
July 21st.
The 300th with the tall ships coming up the river.
Yeah, it was fun. That's right. Yeah. 13 years ago. For whom was the city of New Orleans named?
The Duke of Orleans.
Yes, but which one was it?
Ooh.
You got to know, Jim.
Oh, we want specific.
No, you want.
Louis the 14th?
No. Somebody the 2nd.
Charles II.
It says Philip II.
Philip II.
Regent of France. Yes, Philip II.
Oh, he was regent. Wasn't even the king. Jeez.
Man. The capital of the state of Louisiana before New Orleans was... That's kind of cool.
Capital.
And this is a little bit confusing to me, but I trust Vivian.
So I guess Baton Rouge was after? So what was before? Yeah.
Well, it says here Lafayette? It's a city that starts with B that I think if I say the word, you're going to think Mississippi before you think Biloxi.
Biloxi?
It says Biloxi is what it says here.
Well, maybe the territory was larger then.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. That does make sense.
All right, that would make sense.
For Louisiana Purchase.
Which is a nice transition to what year was it when the French sold the province of Louisiana to the United States?
1804?
03.
03 is what it says here. Yep, so Louisiana Purchase.
Thomas Jefferson violated every constitutional principle he held because he was a strict constructionist.
But it was such a tidy
land.
See, that's where I was getting my 200 number from, because when New Orleans celebrated its bicentennial about 10 years ago.
There you go.
Okay, all right, that makes sense.
It was just such a tempting offer.
Yeah, well, an offer he couldn't refuse.
Where does New Orleans get the nickname the Crescent City?
Well, that's because of the way that the Mississippi River is shaped and circles around the city of New Orleans. It's shaped in a crescent.
Yep, absolutely. Perfect. Which leads again right into our last question, which is, much of the city is located between the Mississippi River and what other body of water?
Lake Pontchartrain.
Yep, Pontchartrain, a name that we know around here in Detroit as well. Excellent, perfect score. Everybody go home and take a nap.
Good night.
It's a pleasure being here.
Yes, as always. Dear professors, as a new resident of the Upper Peninsula and an aspiring Youper, I decided for my first submission ever to try my hand at some Upper Peninsula fun facts. We've been listening on and off since the 1980s, but they've never submitted before. Now that we live in Munising since last November, yikes, I get the podcasts, and I usually save them for my drive back and forth from Detroit. 6 or 7 episodes per drive is what we have here.
And drive faster.
Professors, I never find the drive boring, so thank you.
Drive slower.
I doubt the questions are the quality of those submitted by Professor Chow's long-suffering students, but
qualities.
Marilyn Bachorik of Munising, Michigan, formerly of Dearborn, and you guys are going to love this. By the way, my husband Dennis is the co-author, and he helped me put together in the all-important grading scale, which reads 20 to 25 correct, you're right at home, up here. 15 to 19, honorary Uper. 10 to 14, grab your bridge fare and point the car north. You need a refresher. 1 to 9, stay where you are. You could be bear bait. So the gauntlet has been thrown here. We'll see how many of these...
The gauntlet has been put down.
Yes. Another fantastic group. Thank you so much. And you have a connection to these people, did we hear?
I used to coach hockey against Dennis.
Okay, so the husband.
And Marilyn used to play hockey against my wife.
What do you know?
So there's some rivalry going here.
No. We have all hung up our skates already, so it's okay. It's all good.
If you check out our in-studio map, we do have a pushpin up in Munising to give you an idea of where it is. It is all the way up there. Yes. And you've done a really, really good job, Marilyn, of actually cross-referencing the correct responses with links to the internet. And we
have
we
to be correct?
That. No. Right. Our crack team reviews every single question 10 times before. Today, in 2014, it costs $4 American dollars to cross the Mackinac Bridge. What was the fare when the bridge opened in 1957?
50 cents.
It was not 50
25
cents.
25 cents.
It was not 25 cents.
Free.
It was not free.
Darn.
This is going to shock you, I think.
They paid us to cross.
Mm-hmm. $1.
The first fee to cross the Mackinac Bridge was $3.75.
Whoa.
Really?
Unbelievable. That was real money back then.
Yep.
Silver.
That's why no one's up there.
That's it.
We can come back on the other side.
The entrance fee was prohibitive.
You know what it says, though? Because I think I remember hearing something along these lines. It slid down after 57, but it's crept back up to $4 in the time in between.
Maybe it's a one-way fare. You know, fares into Manhattan,
like a Roach Motel?
Are pretty steep, but it's free to leave.
Yeah. And many do.
Mm-hmm. I kept on thinking it's like a Roach Motel. You can come in, but you can never leave. I mean.
What is the oldest, remember, the theme here is the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. What is the oldest European-founded city in Michigan, and in what year was it supposedly founded?
I'll guess Mackinac.
It's not Mackinac. No. Nope.
Marquette?
It's not Marquette, but you're, running it down to
only Sioux.
Jump up there.
It's not Munising.
Copper Harbor.
It's not Copper Harbor.
Sault Ste. Marie,
yes. Oh, wow. And what year? I find this fascinating. And my mom's side of the family were Irish immigrants through Canada, and I think that they stopped there for a little while.
1704.
Says 1668 was when people were settling in Sault Ste. Marie.
That's right.
Wow.
Unbelievable. I'm giving it to you because it's close enough.
This is how we get a winning score.
Yeah, this is how we know
we need it. Within 100 years.
And if my students are listening, go back and review statistics on error. Okay. Other than their religious devotion, for what are the brothers of the Society of St. John in Eagle River most famous? And what's their most popular product?
Jam.
It is. It's jam. Oh, well done.
I've stayed there.
Well done. It is the Jam Pot Bakery, but what kind of jam is the thing that they
monk
sell?
Monk jam, isn't it? Like grape jam or raspberry jam. Mm. I know they make it there. There's a handful of people there.
It's something jam, but I don't know if I've ever heard
of
this.
Elderberry?
It's a thimbleberry.
Thimbleberry.
Is what it says. Thimbleberry jam. So now, where is Eagle River, relatively speaking?
Outside of Copper Harbor.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Somewhere else.
Okay.
I remember passing it when we went to Isle Royal, that's all.
The Jam Pot Bakery.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Society of St. John. What are the essential ingredients of a pasty?
Potatoes.
Meat.
Flour, and grease.
Nope.
In that order.
Peas.
Onions.
We're actually talking about stuffing inside the pasty.
Aren't there onions in it or leeks?
Onions.
Mm-hmm. Peas.
Carrots.
Carrots are optional, it says, but you really are missing something that was a staple in the UP that you got to put in a pasty. Unless you said it and I missed it, sorry.
Gristle?
A favorite vegetable to mention.
Rutabaga.
Rutabaga. Yes, rutabaga. These are the
That's
Cornish...
the one thing I don't like, but I like them in pasties.
Okay.
Cornish meat pies that were nice pocket lunches for the miners in the copper.
And the adults.
Mines. And they are good.
And the adults. And if you go, you don't have to go all the way to the UP. Just go to Barb's Pasties in Clawson. Yep. She'll take care of you. It's good stuff. What is the northernmost town and microbrewery in the state of Michigan?
Iron Mountain?
No, I think you've already mentioned.
Oh, Copper Harbor.
Pick another metal. Yeah,
Copper Harbor. Copper Harbor. I don't know.
It says the Brickside Brewery is in Copper Harbor, Michigan's northernmost microbrewery. Hmm. Very interesting.
We need to do research.
Like I said, our crack team.
Yeah, local research.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, darn.
We don't want to make a field trip to...
Not in the winter.
Well, that's why we go now.
$3 across the water.
Yeah, now it'll be fine.
There are three public Michigan universities in the Upper Peninsula. What are they and where are they located?
Michigan Tech would be one of them.
In Houghton.
Houghton.
That's correct.
Lake Superior State.
Lake Superior State in?
In Sault Ste. Marie.
Sault Ste. Marie and
Northern Michigan?
Northern Michigan University.
Hey, where did that come from?
Professor Jason Roach just walked in.
Look who's
with
here.
An answer.
The bridegroom.
And what city is NMU in?
Manistee.
Not Manistee, but starts with an M?
Marquette,
that's right.
Think of your famous Jesuits, and then you're all set. Marquette.
Oh, that's where Charles Grandson is going.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Okay.
We started at 3:30, like usual.
Oh, 3.
That's all right.
You didn't get the memo.
Yeah, you were supposed to wear yellow, too.
We're glad to have you here, Jason. From what town in the UP did the venerable George Gipp hail from?
As in, win one for the Gipper?
Win one for the Gipper.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have we mentioned said town yet in our answers?
We have not. It is a very interesting name. It almost sounds like an element. I'm not sure if there's any other tip I can give you other than it is cross-referenced with a website here.
Well, like Barium Springs or something like that?
You're thinking of Barium?
Oh, yeah.
Barium Springs. No, the name of the town is Lorium. Lorium, Michigan. Can
Never
be found
heard
at lorium.net.
Okay.
We'll give them a little PR here while we're at it, huh?
How many people are in Lorium?
Or is that one of those?
Somebody get out their smartphone.
Gip left.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that like one of those towns where you got to widen the road to paint the
get a line down the middle?
While you think about that, we'll take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback. 1988.
The University of Detroit presents Ask the Professor, the radio program on which you match wits with University of Detroit professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Edmund DeWint, and today we have three of our regulars with us. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, Professor George Pickering.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Pleasure to have you here, as always. On his right, from the Department of History, Professor Sarah Gravel.
Hi.
Hello. Yes, that's right. And on Sarah's right, from the Department of Performing Arts and Theater, Professor Arthur Beer.
How'd you do, Edwin?
Gee, who is he today?
I'll just read a lovely article about Australia.
All right. The questions for today, all of which are Bert Tilly questions, have been culled from something like 340,000 of them that he has sent in over the last 6 months. For what cartoon did Donald Duck win his first Oscar? 1942 was the year.
The Donald Duck movies had names.
Yes.
Mm. I'd forgotten that.
No.
Of course, they had to, didn't they?
Yes.
That Old Canard?
No.
The Farmer Takes a Wife.
No, had to do with the war.
Oh, yeah. They sell it now in the video stores when you see him wearing his little helmet.
That's right.
Okay.
And there was a
song. It's called Donald Duck Uncovered.
No.
It's called
Duck Uncovered.
Of course.
It's called The Ducks of War.
The Ducks of War.
And we are back with some great questions about Michigan's Upper Peninsula from Marilyn Bachorik of Munising, Michigan. So glad you and your husband Dennis are listening, and we will continue by asking, what is the oldest continually used hockey rink in North America, hint, hint, Upper Peninsula, and who plays there? This question was found at usahockeymagazine.com.
Could it be the Lake Superior State team?
Yes.
It isn't, although that's a great one. Mm-hmm. That's a great one.
Is it a professional team?
No, I think it'll be a minor league team from what I'm seeing here. The rink was built in 1913. It's over 100 years old.
Wow.
That's amazing. You mentioned Copper Harbor a few times, but there's another, relatively well-known municipality that's close by to Copper Harbor. Do you know what it is?
Iron Mountain?
It shares the name, I believe, with a famous area around Chicago. Starts with the letter C. I want to say, in the mythos, the Blues Brothers went to high school there. Oh, I'm trying so hard. It's Calumet.
Oh.
Calumet Coliseum. Oh, okay. And the team that plays there are the Copper Kings. That's not surprising since copper is king.
1913? Did they even have refrigeration back then?
I'm guessing it? They just slid in some it? Pieces.
They,
of
they still haven't thought out.
Winter and summer, it stayed frozen up there.
They're still frosted over.
Exactly. Okay. Where is the House of Ludington Hotel, and what is its most unusual feature? Oh, I can actually guide you guys unless you know the answer to this one already.
Is it a lighthouse?
It is not a lighthouse.
How many sides?
But let's say, where is it first? I think that probably Jeff Daniels could tell you where the House of Ludington Hotel
is. It's not in Ludington, is it?
Nope.
Chelsea.
It's in Escanaba. Escanaba.
In the moonlight.
In the moonlight, yes. And this is really odd. It had something installed in it for the first time in Michigan in 1959.
Electricity?
Not
running water.
No.
A toilet.
A fax
what
machine.
What if I said Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Chocolate?
Oh. Nope.
A fountain with chocolate melted?
Violet Beauregard.
Little boats in?
Nope.
A fudge machine.
Nope. You're not thinking hard enough. Think about the end of the story.
A Wonkavator.
Yeah, it has a glass elevator.
Oh. Oh, man. I go up, that's down, sideways, and oh.
Houseofludington.com, what can I say? Yeah, it would make sense that the House of Ludington would be in Ludington. It's in Escanaba. Where is the tallest statue in Michigan, and who is depicted in the artwork?
Ooh. It's not Campus Martius?
Nope, it is not.
The Paul Bunyan statue?
You know, it's not Paul Bunyan. Yeah, I was thinking of Castle Rock. That's what I was thinking.
Darn.
Too. I'll give you a hint by giving you half the answer. It's in Ironwood, and it's 52 feet tall. That is very tall.
Iron Man.
For a statue.
Babe the Blue Ox.
Nope.
Is it a statue of Frank Gipp?
Nope. No, not George Gipp.
George Gipp.
Famous Native American. Very famous Native American.
Tecumseh?
Nope.
Sacagawea.
Starts with the letter H, usually.
Hiawatha.
It was actually a fictional, was it?
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. By the shores of Gitche Gumee.
Philadelphia has a statue of a fictional character, Rocky Balboa. Yeah.
There you go.
We're going to do one better.
I thought you were going straight with fictional statue. I'm like, wow.
No, they got a real statue.
Theoretical statue.
Rocky Balboa.
Wait till RoboCop shows up.
Oh,
so.
Is this going to be bigger than 52 feet?
Yeah. No. Oh, it's pretty big, though.
That's really big. The Keweenaw Mountain Lodge was built by what organization 1934-ish?
Kiwanis?
Not the Kiwanis. Does anybody know what the CWA is?
The Communication Workers of America.
It says here Civilian Works Administration.
Yep.
Morphed into something else, I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. It was the... my father actually worked in it.
In the CWA?
It wasn't called the... CWA, I'll think of it, but
like
WPA. So it was like the
CC. It was
CC.
Works Progress Administration.
Yeah,
nice.
WPA. Yeah. 1939.
Thereabouts. In 1936, who founded and built the sawmill town of Alberta Village in Baraga County?
This is a corporation or a name we're looking for?
This is an individual who liked to buy things so that he knew where his raw materials were coming
from.
Henry
Ford.
Yes, he wanted to own every source of raw materials in the state for his manufacturing.
Wow.
Yes. He created a town. He did the same thing in Brazil, if I remember correctly.
Yes, he did.
They still use wood from that same lumber in their new Ford Sync program that allows you to sink. Don't they? No?
All right.
I don't know, but I'm not questioning that fact. Abraham Lincoln said 17% of everything on the internet is incorrect. So, yeah.
That's
Oh, my gosh. What is unique? Oh, my. And here you drove right into it here, Jason. What is unique about the Superior Dome building in Marquette? Don't go very far from what you were just joking about.
Made of wood?
It's the largest wood dome in the world. Yeah, that's what it says.
Wow.
Made of wood.
Wonder what
is
kind of wood they use.
Laminated wood?
It's from the Wikipedia entry, Superior_Dome.
If it's on Wikipedia, it's got to be real.
It's got to be real.
How heavy is that ceiling?
That's heavy.
No smoking.
No caving in. Oh, my gosh. In the Detroit area... Iverson's is known also for delicious pastries, but the Iverson's in the UP produces what?
Basketball players? Allen Iverson?
No. No, wrong.
I was just guessing.
They're actually very well known for this because there's not many people who make these anymore.
Smoked fish, moccasins.
Moccasins is getting closer. Something you might need in the UP
work
during
boots.
The winter. Not work boots.
Snowshoes.
Oh, wow. Snowshoes. Yes, leather snowshoes and some handcrafted wood products. But
eight.
Yep. Do you really, Chuck?
Oh.
See, he was a huge Renaissance man, walking on top of the snow. Where would you be going if you took a ride on the Ranger 3?
Oh, Isle Royale.
Isle Royale, yes.
Okay. I probably rode that thing.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, good. I just didn't know the name.
Love that state park.
It says, based on the website that you can go to from the National Park Service, one of America's most remote national parks.
It is
I should
remote.
Say so.
It's such an interesting
And position. I remember when we went, we got it, there it, late, and we rode in the back of it.
Oh, my.
So we got splashed and 3.5 hours of cold water.
I hope it was summer, at least.
It was still cold.
Right.
It was still cold.
Lake Superior. So, oh. Yeah, exactly. What National Hall of Fame can be found in Ishpeming?
Tobogganing?
Not tobogganing.
Sledding? Lugeing?
Dog sledding?
You guys haven't said it yet, and I'm really surprised.
Ice fishing. The National Ice Fishing Hall of Fame.
I don't know,
Swimming.
It's not hockey.
Ishpeming.
No. It's actually something that gets really big every 4 years.
Curling.
Curling. Watch it. Nope.
Soccer.
Still haven't said soccer.
You said big every 4 years.
It's the bill.
Singing volleyballs?
Nope. It says it's the National Skiing Museum.
Oh, really? Oh,
and,
really?
And they added snowboarding so they could be cool. Yeah,
snowboarding.
Yeah, everything but Ishpeming. My God.
It just seems so unlikely.
It sure does.
Isn't it? What international festival is held in Munising every February?
Thawing out?
Maybe June or July.
An ice carving festival?
I'm going to give it to you because it's Michigan Ice Fest, and Marilyn observes, fools will climb columns of ice over 100 feet high if it's for a festival.
Holy moly.
At MichiganIceFest.com.
I think they need to bring in Burning Man.
Oh, my dude. Well, hey, that's twice as tall as the Hiawatha.
Well, more like Thawing Man right about now.
This special summertime edition of Ask the Professor will continue next week with part two of our visit in the studio with University of Detroit Mercy President Dr. Antoine Garibaldi. And now this.
Author and screenwriter.
State Supreme Court Justice.
Check out the resumes of some pretty big wheels.
Chairman and CEO.
Police Chief.
And you'll find they have one thing in common.
University of Detroit Mercy.
UDM.
UDM.
University of Detroit Mercy.
An alumni list as impressive and diverse as the school itself, University of Detroit Mercy continues a tradition of excellence in education. To learn more about UDM's academic and financial aid programs, call 1-800-635-5020 or visit online at www.udmercy.edu. University of Detroit Mercy.
Chief Financial Officer.
We turn out big wheels.
Graduate, UDM.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.